Though we are few, but the Spirit of God is here. And the presence of God is here. And that's the most important thing of all, that the presence of God is with us here this morning. So I do encourage you, as these days ahead to come, to invite a friend to one of our services, a candlelight service it may be, or Christmas service, or also New Year's New Year's Day service, or even the testimony service we'll be having on December 31st at 10 o'clock, and we're going to celebrate, we're going to end that celebration until the 2017 of January. So many of you have seen this in the bulletin. I do encourage you to take one of these out and just to go out and give it to a friend or someone. It will touch them. You know why? Because it is guided by God. So everyone, do you have one of these things? Can you see if you have them? Now, we're just going to take, this is an invitation. You know what, I was so surprised and I was shocked. They put my wife and I to shame yesterday. Now, when I walked, I was home studying for today's message, and I opened the front door, and all of a sudden I see a card. And it was a Christmas card from someone around the neighborhood that I just met once. And that isn't telling me welcoming and wishing me a Merry Christmas. And that just said, wow, if they can do that, why cannot we just give an invitation to someone? So we pray in the name of Jesus that when this pamphlet or this little document, whatever it is, invitation will go into their hand, they will sense the power of God, the presence of God, that they will come here to receive something great from God. It's not from man, but it is from God. In Jesus' name, when we give out this thing, this card, it will touch someone's life and they will come to experience Jesus Christ as the personal Savior, the light that we're going to speak about on December 24th. And I encourage you to come on out, the candlelight service. It's going to be a wonderful evening. Not because I am here or you're here, because the power and the presence of God is going to be in this place. And that's why it's going to be so powerful and so amazing to experience something like a candlelight. So if you have not attended to one of those, please do so. It's going to be a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. I do have an announcement to share before we go into God's Word. We do have three individuals, January 1st. Pastor Allen will start with the message into 2017. But also that day we have communion service, and we have three individuals who gave their life to Jesus Christ, the personal Savior, and there will be water baptism on that day. So it is in a great, wonderful event to start off 2017. So I encourage you to come on out, invite a friend, bring some. If they've never seen a water baptism service, come on out. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to have water baptism from the Word of God. We're going to be, Pastor Allen's going to be sharing from the Word of God. We're going to have also communion that day, celebrating, starting the new year together. Amen? So I do encourage you to come on out on that day. And if you want to be baptized and you have never taken that step, or that step of obedience to be baptized in water, I encourage you to come on, see me at the end of the service. I do have a form here that you can fill it out, and we're going to have a course after that, and we're going to talk about water baptism, the significance of water baptism. Now, this morning, I want to share with you, I know it's a theme of Christmas. You know, everywhere you go, every church you go, it's about Christmas, the Advent, Christmas, joy, the love, the peace, and the hope. Now, we're a little bit too late. We are in the Advent is 4 weeks before Christmas. So, but we are on the last week before Christmas. But I want to share with you on one of the best fruit that I think, all of them are good, love, joy, and peace. But one of the fruit of Christmas, we always intended to be, it the best Christmas gift is gifts that is under the tree. But in reality, the gifts that God has given us is even extremely more wonderful. It does not break, it does not rust, it does not lose its value, and it's there all the time for us. But the topic that I want to share with you this morning is about hope. You know, at times there's hopelessness things in our life that we just tend to walk with this hopelessness, and it just becomes a routine of our life. Hopelessness, oh, that's not possible. And it just comes and goes and comes and goes all the time. But God has sent his son to give it, to shatter what? The hopelessness and give us the hope. Amen? Now we're going to look at a couple of chapters today, a couple of books. We're going to look at Malachi. But let me ask you, before we get to Malachi, I want to look at, show you something. If you and I will read from the first page to the end of the Bible, it says from Genesis to Revelation, it would take approximately a long time to read it. Amen? But I encourage you to do so. Take the time to read it and so forth. But do you know that for the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. And there is a prophecy. There is a promise there in chapter 4 of Malachi. And then from Malachi, you go into the New Testament, though it takes us just a couple of seconds to go to the New Testament. Is that simple? Amen? Is that simple to go to the New Testament? Now, the Old Testament was written. It was the promises of God to the people of the nation. So we have all these promises in the Old Testament. You flip some pages, you go to the New Testament, and we start talking about the birth of Jesus. Now, it takes us just a couple of seconds to get there. Am I right? 1, 2, 3. But do you know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it took 400 years. So in a matter of a couple of seconds, it's in our hands, the New Testament. And the promises of God, they're for the, just the tip of our fingers. It's right there. But now there's a promise that is given in Malachi chapter 4, and it took 400 years for that promise to be fulfilled in chapter, and we go into the Gospels. That's a long time to wait. 400 years. Don't you think they lost, what, their patience? You said this Messiah will come, and I'm waiting and waiting and hoping for this Messiah to come, and 1 year passes, and 2 years passes, and 3 years passes, and nothing happens. 1 year in our lives, many things changes, all right? 10 years, many things change. Imagine 400 years. That was 400 years silence of God. Don't you think God was like, don't you think the people say, what has happened? Did God not respond to my prayer? He said that he would send a son of righteousness in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. We're going to look at it. He said he's going to send a son of righteousness. What is happening? You can go there, sister, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, the son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out, grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now there's the Son of Righteousness here is talking about Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself. So this promise that he gives us in Malachi chapter 4, for 400 years, people are hoping for this Messiah. And you know today, so many years has passed, people are still waiting for the Messiah. And even as Christians at times, you know the scriptures and promises of God or the prophecies of God, and we're just still waiting for it. No, it has come. It has come because we're going to read it in the next couple of verses on, please. Look at that. Malachi 3:4. You shall trample the wicked, for there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day, and I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember, the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him and her, and all of Israel, with the statutes of judgment. So we see that the Messiah would be coming. And now he's talking about, and it ends up going in verse 5 and 6. We can continue verse 5 and 6. And tells us, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to their father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So the Old Testament ends up with the promises that one day the liberator will come, a savior will come, like the Son of Righteousness will come through this dark world, a breakthrough through this dark world. And that is a promise, it's a prophecy that this darkness of this world, the Son of Righteousness will come and will just give light to this world, light to the hearts of the people, light to the hearts that are the darkness in their life. And that's the beauty of this that we see today. And one preparing the way, and then one will actually walk that way, and is the only way is Jesus Christ himself. That is the only way that you can go to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is through Jesus Christ himself. So Elijah prepared this way, and then Jesus makes that way and walks through that way. actually brings the way, the Messiah. So if we look at this from the old, and then we're going to go and jump to the New Testament, it took 400 years. They were waiting and waiting. It's like, you know, if we look at a child, they won't wait 23 days to take that gift. They won't wait 24 days. They really want it that day. They have no patience. They just say, can I open it? And then you turn your back and they try to shake it. As soon as they try to see what is it, they try to feel and imagine what it is because they have no patience to wait. But it took 400 years for this prophecy to fulfill. So people in their mind, the nation of Israel, were saying, what is happening? This is not happening. This is not true. It's 400 years and people are dying without believing in that prophecy. And now we jump into the New Testament today, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. The New Testament in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25, that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I want to bring out a couple of verses at a time to explain some of these verses and step by step and just look at in this and allow us to just digest and chew on this, the Word of God, what it's trying to tell us this morning. Now, I know this story talks about Elizabeth that had no son. She cannot bear a child. And I don't want you to just look at this, but that is actually the chapter after the New Testament that comes in. So I want to go through that because the week after we're going to look at the birth of Jesus Christ. But before the birth of Jesus Christ happened, John had to come. John had to prepare the way. So the hearts would be getting closer to Jesus when he walked this path. So we look at Elizabeth and Zacharias, and we know that the scriptures, it says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blamelessly. Blamelessly. We look at Elizabeth and Zacharias are called righteous and blameless. People who walked in all the commandments of the Lord were faithful in the years of waiting, continue to believe. They have heard that the Messiah would come. They have heard the Messiah will come, and they remained faithful. They walked in the commandments of the Lord. They walked blamelessly. They were right before God because they believed and they trusted and they hoped that the Messiah would come that day. Sometime when they just never gave up, they continue to believe. You and I are here today because we believe that Jesus Christ will come back. We believe in that prophecy. We believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, that one day you and I will not be here anymore, but we'll be worshiping the Lord forever and ever, forever and ever. So that's a prophecy that's given to us, that you and I should not be here all the time, but you will be in heaven with God. You will be in heaven with our Father. So we're not giving up. We are trying to walk in the commandments of the Lord. We're trying to walk right with God. But there's something at times in our lives that brings us down, and that is hopelessness. Things, situations in our lives that says the hopelessness, and you just come a routine of our life, and it just happens, and you say, this is hopeless. It cannot happen. It's not possible. But let me here to tell you the scriptures, that there is hope in every situation. There is hope in any circumstances in our life, because Jesus Christ is the only source that will give you that hope. So we look at this. Zacharias and Elizabeth. It is so amazing to see this story. They're both righteous before God. They were not sinless. They were not sinless. They have sinned the way you and I sin every day. But were faithful and sincere to keep God's decrees. They never gave up. They always believed that one day the Messiah would come, even though 400 years had gone by. But they still remained in that promise. They still remained in that prophecy and say the Messiah will come. But even in that waiting, there are times of hopelessness. They remained right before God, blamelessly remaining faithful in the Lord's command. In Luke chapter 1, verse 7, the next scripture we see, but they have, here is an opposition they have, but they have no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. Now, because they have no child, but they have no child. I remember a couple that I know in the past church look around and see everybody is having children and the blessings around them. And they were excited and they were all happy mothers and first fathers, so excited to see that. And Elizabeth's looking around. Everybody's probably having children all around, and she's not having any children. Don't you think the anxiety, the stress that's on her, the things that come on her mind. This couple is in the church. The things that come on their mind, and they think it's hopelessness. It's not going to happen. This is not going to happen. But I want to tell you, just don't look as a child. I mean, I know I'm speaking to some people who are advanced in years, but remember one thing. I know you're not searching for a child, but God can do anything itself today, this morning. Amen? Amen. You got to be married, first of all, okay? Don't come here, you're single and you're pregnant. And we have to have another course, another thing itself. But you know what I'm saying? I want to look at the hopelessness. For her, it was hopeless. I cannot have a child. But she still remained faithful. She still was studying the Word of God. She still sought the face of God. She still did everything right in the eyes of God. Even though there's blameless things in our life, even though there is hopeless things in our life, and you just remain faithful. You just remain faithful to the Word of God. You remain faithful to God, that one day He will respond, because you will see it through the Scriptures this morning. Not because I say, you will see it through the Scriptures. Amen? So there's an opposition she faces right there. There's anxiety. There's a stress. It's the same thing. Today the technology will come on out and start having to conceive a child. Even though, you know, this technology is so advanced today that I know that another couple that cannot have a bare child together, but they went to see a doctor with the technology and had a child. And we look at also in the Scriptures, what about Sarah? She couldn't bear a child. She gave it to Hagar, and Hagar, all of a sudden Hagar got a child. And then with time of anxiety and pain that she must be going through, and the stress that she must be going through her life, she still remained seeking God. And then, you know, God gave her a child. She was frustrated, but God still gave her a child at 90 years of age. Isn't that amazing? First she laughs, and then God responded. Now, I know you, sister, Eleanor, you don't want a child at your age. But you never know. But be married first. And then we know Hannah. She pours out her heart to God, and God responded. But it took time. It took time that that happened. And at times we are in that situation itself today, that we just pray for something, the hopelessness in our life. There's something that's trying to bring that hopelessness in our lives. And we're praying and praying, and it seems that it's not happening. But let me tell you something, even through the hopeless things of life, God is at work. God is at work, even though it's something, a situation is facing at home now. God works in a way that you and I cannot even imagine. We're going to look at that through the Scriptures this morning. The similarity, when you look at, she was hopelessness 40 years without bearing a child. But the reality is 400 years of silence brought hopelessness to the Jewish nation. And think of the similarity. She waited, she prayed with hope for 40 years, and a child has not received, has not arrived. It seemed that God was ignoring her prayers. And on the other side, we have a nation of not 40 years, but 400 years in the Old Testament to the New Testament, waiting and praying and hoping through the promise to be fulfilled. No answer appeared. That appeared of a child was not going to appear. What was happening in the minds of the people? It seemed hopelessness. The promise was not being fulfilled. Let me tell you something, friends. If it's your first time you're here today, I want to say from the bottom of my heart, welcome. I pray that you enjoy the presence of God. I pray that you enjoy the worship. I pray that you enjoy this time here this morning. But let me tell you something straight from the bottom of my heart. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you have no hope in life. The only hope you will have is when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if you have not made that decision today, if you have come here for many years, or if you're the first time you're here this morning, but never made that decision, let me tell you, you're hopeless without Christ. And He can fill that hope. He can fill your heart with love. The only thing you must do is I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And we feel that heart. He will fill your heart in Jesus' name. Elizabeth was blameless, walked with the Lord, and was upright with God, and still had these situations. Even in the life of a believer like you and I, even in the life of the most committed that worship the Lord, the one who follows Christ, there are times in our life we will experience hopelessness. And I experience hopelessness times in my life. And I'm not the only one. All of us has experienced the hopelessness things in our lives. Even at times when we feel hopeless, God is still at work. But Elizabeth reminds us that everything seems hopeless, but God is still working in the life. You might be facing something right now. You might be saying it's hopeless. It's not going to happen. But let me tell you, God is at work. And God will do something. God will stir up the hearts. God will change that heart. Whatever that situation it is, I believe in the Almighty God. I might not see the results today. I might not see it today. But I know that one day it will happen. That promise will happen. That whoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And I believe that my family member, whoever it is, will call upon the name of Jesus. Because God is working. God is working in the hearts. And I believe that this morning. And if you believe that this morning, let me hear a shout of praise this morning. Let me say a shout of praise this morning. And I believe that God is working this morning. So Luke 1 verse 8 and 9. I'm going to try to be more calm these days. Because Christmas is just around the corner. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God, in the order of his division, according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So Zechariah was serving as a priest before God, doing what he did every single year. Zechariah was employed at the service of God. He executed the priest's office before God in order of his course. In the waiting, he was upon duty. Though his family was not built up or not even made up, yet made consequence of doing the work of his own place that day, he still continued to do the work of God. You and I were still continue to work for God. You and I will still serve the Lord. You and I will still worship the Lord. Though it seems hopeless in things in life, still continue. Just because Elizabeth cannot bear a child, he stopped serving the Lord. He still served God. And at times we see when hopelessness hits our homes, instead of drawing closer to God, we end up starting doubting and we start walking and drawing away from God. But if you are in that situation today, let's learn from Zacharias and draw closer and continue to do the work of God, because God is at work. It may not be in your timing, but God is doing something. God is doing something. Watch this, so important when you look at. Remember one thing. There is no coincidence or luck in life. It's the plan of God. You know, sometimes people say, oh, that was lucky. Why do I say that? Chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. According to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside the hour of incense. His lot fell on who? On Zacharias. It was planned by God, because God was doing something in that temple. He was working in the life. So it's no coincidence in life. It's not a coincidence or by luck you're here today. God planned it that you will be here today. And it's our day. It is your day to accept the Word of God and to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's no luck. God planned it. God planned it for Zacharias. And that is so amazing to see the way God works in ways that you and I cannot even imagine. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." He thought, okay, man, what is it my time? What happened here? Because you will see when he enters into the temple, what was happening to him. And he walks in the temple. But the people, the most important thing of all this is here, look. That the multitude of the people were praying outside the hour. God had already prepared something for him. God already prepared something for Elizabeth. So he chose him to walk inside that temple to burn the incense. God is already working in someone's life. Someone you know. Someone you prayed for. Because look around, it says the people were praying outside the temple. The people were praying. You and I are praying. You and I are praying for someone. You and I are praying for a situation. Something is going to happen in these days ahead to come. I believe so. The direction is always, of the lot is always directed by the Lord. That means God controls everything that happens in our life. We need to recognize that it was no coincidence that Zechariah's day to go into the temple. What Zechariah didn't realize, then he went inside the temple. God was already at work. All the prayers that appeared that seemed unanswered. All the prayers that appeared that God didn't answer and seemed that there was no hope. Zechariah didn't realize that the answer of the prayers was in the temple. It was right there in the temple. Even at times when you feel hopeless, God is still at work. Luke 1, verses 11 to 12, as we continue. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now there was no surprise to the angel, but he was surprised. He was surprised, he was troubled. This is not possible. The angel Gabriel came and spoke to him. So just imagine, you surprised yourself. An angel comes and starts to talk. Don't you get surprised? You're surprised. He goes and he's surprised that standing on the right hand of the altar, and we see he was troubled. Because he couldn't believe it that the angel was there. He was standing right there beside him. God was already at work. Even though the hopelessness things that when he was praying, remember, she was what? She couldn't bear a child. Not only that, the scripture tells us that they were even well advanced in age. So on top of it, the cake, there's even a cherry saying, wow, I'm even old. I cannot have any child. And now the God plans it in a way that Zacharias goes inside this temple and the angel of the Lord stands beside him. He starts and he's troubled. He's surprised that the angel is right beside him. God was working. God is working. The beauty of this promise is in this in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Everything that seems hopeless, God is always at work. When the hope of God does appear, it shadows the appearance of the hopelessness. When God shows up, all that hopelessness will disappear in our lives. Then Luke chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. And then we go, then the angel of the Lord appeared of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. And then what else? And fear fell upon him. Now he was troubled and now fear. Already when you're walking inside that temple, he was already shaking himself. He was already afraid. This is a high place to, you know, a place that you have to honor and you have to work. It's ministry. You have to incense. It's a fear. So imagine when you walk into a place and the reverence is like you're scared. Even today, as if many of you will come to preach here, I can guarantee you your knees will be shaking if you're just feared, just afraid. So the fear had just fell upon him. And then God reassures him with this peace. Verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." When he tells us, "Do not be afraid," he doesn't tell us in a mean voice. "Don't be afraid!" Soft voice. "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." He was probably stunned. "My prayer is heard? Old age, 40 years of praying. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him name John." And John was the one that you and I know that prepared the way for Jesus. And you know they're cousins. Zacharias, 40 years of praying, 40 years of waiting, and a son, God responded. Let's go on, verse 14 to 17. And it says, "And you will have joy and gladness, and you will rejoice at his birth." Like, of course, you have a child. You're going to be joy. There's going to be joy in your life. You're going to be happy. You're going to be excited. You know, people today, before having this child, they already go purchase all the stuff. The cribs and the clothes and the gifts and the gifts, and they're trying to imagine, is it a boy or a girl? So they go buy unisex clothes and unisex shoes, anything just to, because there's excitement, there's a child that's coming, arriving. And he says, "You're going to have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Maybe he's probably puzzled, "Will they be rejoiced at my birth?" And then it goes, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." God has worked in his life. God had a plan. Even though 400 years of silence, that promise was made. But God had a plan for this whole nation today. God of silence responded. Amen? God of silence, the silence of God responded. He responded. This message has shattered the hopelessness of Elizabeth. This message is a message of hope of the nation. Where it seems hopelessness, it brings joy. He has come to shatter the hopelessness. John was coming to prepare the way for the one who will shatter the hopelessness of this nation. It's not John, but it's Jesus Christ himself. That where it seems there's hopeless things in life that's happening, Jesus Christ came to remove and to shatter that hopelessness and give you that hope to continue. We go on in Luke chapter 1, verse 18 and 20. And Zechariah said to the Lord, "How shall I know this? For I am old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute." I'm going to look at that for a second, mute after. "And not be able to speak until the day of these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which was fulfilled in their own time." Here it tells us, "You did not believe my words." He had a hard time believing because he was accustomed of just in that, living in that hopeless things of life. It's not possible. It's not possible that God would give a child. It's not possible that God would respond, and we get adapt to that, and we can still serve the Lord, and we get adapt to say, it's not possible to do so. And he says, "Because you did not believe." He was used to the sense of hopelessness that when he finally appeared, he missed it. Zechariah is a perfect example of the nation of Israel today. They waited, they hoped, they prayed, and when hope appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, they were so overwhelmed of their life. They waited, so when the Messiah came, it's a picture of us, they missed it. Jesus has come. Jesus has gone, and they missed it. The prophecy of God in Malachi chapter 4, they have missed it, and you and I missed it at times. When I think of it. And you know, around the people around the world that you talk to at times, they say, we're waiting for the Messiah. We're waiting for Jesus. We're waiting for Him. But you and I know that He have come because you have no experienced Him. And the prophecy in Malachi 4, even though it took 400 years, God responded. Even though God promises something to us through the Scriptures, don't you ever quit after a day. Don't you ever quit after 40s or 4 years or 10 years because the promise will be fulfilled. 40 years of waiting and God responded. They were overwhelmed in their life. They waited and the Messiah came. They missed it. Their sufficient hope is in the Word of God and answers to any hopelessness in our lives. You can be overwhelmed by a certain situation. You can be overwhelmed by a certain problem, a certain feeling that can overwhelm my life or your life. That when we come to a hope in the Word of God, we missed it because hopelessness became part of our lives. And we got accustomed to it. All of this, we looked on the same verses, and the most important verse, and we look at this, Zacharias is in the temple, and there's some character, a person that is missing in there is Elizabeth. She had no idea what's happening. The angel of the Lord spoke to Zacharias. And then he says, look, behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place. Now just imagine, you get an answer from God. God does something to you. God responded. God give you a word, but you have to keep quiet. Isn't that hard to do? Oh, the joy. Oh, I want to joy. So he gets and he goes back to see Elizabeth. What? He's not allowed to speak. He's not allowed to say anything. He's supposed to be mute. And to tell the day these things will take place. Isn't that hard? The excitement of God in your life, and you're excited, and you have to go home, and your wife looks at you, and you know, and you look at her, and you say, you're going to have a child. But you have to keep shut. So he goes, and he does those gestures probably because he wasn't allowed to speak. He wasn't allowed to say anything. Keep signs, making signs just to get the point across to him, to her. The message of Christmas is to take care of any hopelessness known to mankind. The message of Jesus Christ has come. God sent His Son. There was sufficient hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ for every appear of hopelessness. But yet, there are still believers live in that hopelessness. The way the nation of Israel missed it and still waiting, I believe there's still Christians miss it. We're living in that hopelessness. I'm not saying that you're hopeless or I'm hopeless, no. But the situation, and became a routine and says, wow, it's okay now. Whatever. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But we must still continue to be faithful. We must continue to push along with Brother Carmen was saying. We must be ready and faithful to the commandments of God, into the Word of God, into worship, because God is at work. God is at work. So whatever hopelessness that is, Bring it to God. And let the hopelessness shatter and let the peer of hope come in your life today. There is sufficient hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ for every peer of hopelessness. I just pray that you understand what I'm going through the scripture this morning, what God is trying to tell us. In a nutshell, God is at work. Even though it seems impossible in your eyes. Maybe some of you maybe are praying for a child. I don't know. Maybe God will respond. Maybe someone is praying for a spouse. God will respond. In due time. Sister, in due time. There's no age for God to respond prayers. Am I right? God can respond any prayer at any time. So whatever, in a nutshell, what I want to tell you, whatever it is that you see in your eyes, in your situation or at home, whatever it is, a family member, a friend, and it's hopeless, that it's not possible, just remember and remind yourself, God is at work. Even though you don't see it. Zacharias didn't know when he walked in that temple. He feared, he was afraid, and the angel spoke to him. God was at work. But the key was everyone around him was praying. And we pray, we spend time in prayer and fasting. We don't leave doubting. We believe that God is at work. And God will do something great. Amen? So I want to conclude this morning with this. If you don't have Christ, there is no hope for you in your life and the next life to come. Give your life and find that hope. Simple as that. Give your life and you'll find that hope. There are two categories here this morning. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah, who was having a hard time breaking the hopelessness, out of the hopelessness, and having a hard time seeing the hope. The hope is in Jesus Christ, and in every single page of this book filled with the promises of God. And you don't have to be hopelessness. And then Elizabeths, there are Elizabeths in this place who are still serving the Lord, who are praying, who are trusting, who are believing, who are persevering in the things of God. And my encouragement, continue. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't turn away. God is at work. I remember this lady. Was a man actually had a cancer on his brain. And 1 year passed, Christmas passed, had cancer. 2 years cancer, 3 years cancer, 4 years cancer, 5 years cancer. This in the brain, this cancer, the tumor was there. But he never lost hope. He still served God. He still worshiped the Lord. He still was faithful to the scriptures. He still was faithful to the word of God. He still remained steady in the word of God. And it seemed hopelessness in his life that 5 Christmas passes. In the 6th, God had healed. God had healed. But even though God did not heal, he would still remain focused. He would still remain seeking the face of God. And that's the beauty of God Himself when He works in the lives of people. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. Maintain that hope. The fruit of Christmas is not the gift, a material gift that breaks, rust, or lose its value. The best gift that you and I will ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ. And that is my encouragement for every one of us here today. Through these days for Christmas to come, remembering it takes people run out of their way to buy Christmas gifts. And really, we're really losing out the real point of Christmas. The best gift, it tells us, thanks be to God for an indescribable gift. And that is Jesus Christ himself. That he would give us hope, love, joy, and everlasting life. Let's all stand this morning. I want to have a couple of appeals this morning as the piano will come forward and play. Every eye closed, every head bowed as we conclude the service this morning, as we will go home and just spend time with our families, or maybe some of you will maybe going to work later. But this morning, God's word spoke to us. Let the hopelessness of life not disturb you and not push you aside. But find that hope in Jesus Christ. So I want to conclude with this morning with you. If you're here for the first time, and you know you've heard messages in the past, but today something touched your heart. Maybe the song. Maybe the Holy Spirit. Maybe the word. Maybe someone that's beside you that just touched your heart. But whatever it is, I can tell you something. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. There are individuals here this morning have not accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. You know, and I give you this appeal to you this morning. I encourage you to slip your hand up. Every eye closed for a moment. Every head bowed for a moment. It is between you and God. If you have not experienced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I encourage you to raise your hand up and just say, yes, I need Jesus in my life. I need Him to fill that hope in my heart. So if you're here today, I know there's someone here. There's a couple people here that God is sharing to my heart that you need to know Christ. Don't make this day pass without knowing Jesus, without experiencing the hope of God. Whoever that person is today, every eye closed, every head bowed, I ask you to raise your hand. And I want to pray for you. And I believe that God will do something great upon your life too. It doesn't mean He's going to solve all your problems, but it can tell you one thing. He will bring you to heaven. You'll have everlasting life with Him. I guarantee you that. The Word of God tells us that. So if you're here today for the first time and you want to accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, raise your hand before God and say, I need Jesus right now. And I want Him to feel the hope in my heart. Is there anyone here this morning? Don't reject the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless you. He wants to work in your life this morning in Jesus' name. So if there's any Zacharias this morning, here this morning, we want to pray for you that the hopelessness will shatter and let the hope of God just come in right now in Jesus' name. And if there's any Elizabeths here this morning, keep on going. Keep on serving. Keep on loving. God is at work this morning. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your presence from the beginning to the end of the service this morning. We thank you the way you spoke to us through how we sung the songs. As oh Father, as the last song we sung, I exalt thee, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. For Lord, I know there's individuals here that need to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. But I pray right now for them in a mighty way, God. Stretch your arms forth. Holy Spirit, speak to them. Touch their hearts that they will surrender their lives to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I pray right now, God, if there's any Zacharias in here that's walking away, oh Father, that's living in that routine of hopelessness. But Lord, I pray right now that they would change their heart, change their mind, and focus back on the hope is you, Lord. Because you are at work. Father, and I pray for Elizabeth, so God, I pray for everyone in this place. that, Lord, you will continue to work in their lives, continue to motivate them, continue, oh God, to give them that inner strength that is needed upon their life, oh Lord. Well, Father, we want to serve you. We want to love you. We want to continue doing what you call us to do, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the best gift that you've ever given to us, and that is your Son, Jesus, that we can find joy, love, peace, and hope. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Bring us home safely. Protect us, Lord, I pray, oh Father, in Jesus' name. Before we go home this morning, let's sing the last song together. I exalt thee. And if you need to spend time alone with God, you can do so. If you don't, you can go home. Be blessed and be encouraged today. Hallelujah. The altar is open for anybody who wants to spend time with God this morning.
I exalt thee.
Thank you, Lord. Pastor Allen, would you lead us into prayer this morning? Would you come forth and lead us into prayer as we go home this morning? As the Lord, give us traveling mercy this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we just pray that through these days marching to Christmas, Lord, that we will reflect on the future of who you are. Lord, as so much of our time is spent on thinking of what you've been as a little child. But you're no baby anymore, Lord. You're the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And Lord, we need to look forward to your coming. We need to have that same perseverance and faith and patience as they needed to when you came the first time that you're coming back. And Lord, we need to be persistent. We need to have our eyes fixed on you and put away things that are destructive and look forward to what is coming as you return. Lord, may we fix our eyes on you. May our faith grow. May we be a light shining through the darkness through this Christmas season. And as we march forward into this very difficult year of 2017 coming in, Lord, that we will have our eyes fixed on you with faith and believing in your coming and be praying fervently for the renewal and the revival as we wait for your coming. For your glory in Jesus' name. Bless us as we go forward. Bless us with the joy of the Lord that is our strength at all times. Amen.